I mean, in a lot of ways, you know, this is a weird comparison, but I couldn't help but think about it. Like Damien Chazelle's film that came out this year, Babylon.
Okay.
I just watched it recently.
I didn't see it
on my mind.
I think I actually liked it more than a lot of people did, but I mean, there's a reason why Tropic Thunder works so much better.
Yeah.
And it's because Babylon is basically an entire drama about how fucked up Hollywood is.
Mm-hmm.
While Tropic Thunder is a full-on comedy about how fucked up Hollywood is.
Yes.
If you really want to get into the like the real grit and grime of how shit Hollywood is and subject us to 3 hours of it, there has to be a little bit more levity.
Great.
Yeah. But it's different intentions. That's what it is. Like, it's basically that Chazelle kind of went for this like waking nightmare. And that's how you wanted the audience to feel. And it's tough. There's very few movies that make that work. It's like, it's very joyless. But I'm not sure Jason would like that movie. He knew what he was doing is all I'm saying. Is like, I think he was kind of going for that. It's just that there's very few movies where that works. Like, you know, the only two that I can think of, even Mother didn't do that good a job. I think Son of Soul, which we need to force Jason to watch as a double feature with Mother.
I don't even want to do that.
Yeah. And what was the other one? Requiem. Like, that's the, but Requiem, that's the thing about Requiem. It's kind of like Schindler's List. The flaw of Requiem, just like Schindler's List, is that they're both very depressing movies that are extremely entertaining. And that's an issue. That's like, there's a conflict there. There's like a tension there.
How is that an issue?
Because then the way it's seen is that like it's unintentionally glorifying the, it's kind of funny because I'm watching, I just finished watching Euphoria. And that show is kind of similar to Requiem because it's the lead character struggles with drugs, but at the same time, they have to show that she's not having a good time, while sometimes she does have a good time. So it's like this whole thing of like that you want to show the bad side of it, but you don't want to like completely lie about what the experience is, but you don't want to glorify it. It's like having this play this balance and that's the problem with movies. That's why they say that war movies in general are problematic because they tend to glorify war and war.
I think that was specifically Truffaut that said that, but
yeah, exactly. It's this tension that like movies almost always glorify whatever action they show unless they really go hard. And Chazelle, being the smart filmmaker that he is, he really wanted to like make sure that there's nothing glorified about this. There's moments of glorification, levity. But levity, but they're very short-lived.
Well, anytime you get to see Margot Robbie in a like skimpy, skin-tight dress is a moment of levity. I mean, like that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Babylon yet.
Just watch Boogie Nights.
I'm gonna watch it. I love Damien Chazelle. I want to see it. I just never got a chance to. But I was gonna say that when you're talking about Requiem and Schindler's List, I don't see that as a problem because for two completely different reasons, obviously. You're talking about the Requiem thing. To glorify an aspect of the drug use in the movie is just honesty. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing, because the movie as a whole is incredibly honest about all the horrific, terrible things. I mean, that movie's probably in the top five, if not the top number one, best thing you could show someone as an anti-drug, you know, thing, not as a pro-drug thing. So it's like, yeah, obviously there's some stuff that glorifies the positive, but taking drugs is something that people enjoy doing.
It's so a roller coaster. They don't do it for nothing.
Yeah, they don't do it for nothing. Exactly. So it's like, that's just being honest. I don't see that as a negative for the movie at all. And then in terms of Schindler's List, it's not that no part of that movie glorifies the concentration camp experience, if you will. But at the end of the movie, there's this uplifting, sad, but somber and an incredibly moving thing. And yes, it's an entertaining movie, and you're kind of, you know, you're kind of like on the edge of your seat for many moments about, are they going to make it? Are they not going to make it? Is he going to be able to save these ones? Is he not going to be able to save these ones? You know, how much of his business is being destroyed as he's trying to, you know, save one last person or 10 more people on this list and so on and so forth. All those little high tension moments. Obviously, anyone who's seen the movie knows that the last like 10 minutes when he's like leaving the camp are like super emotional. And if someone wanted to call that a glorification in some way of something, then yeah, it's fine. It's a glorification of the man who historically did this incredible feat. You know, it's not glorifying the concentration camp. So like, yeah, it does show the positive side. It shows the positive side of a couple of people who did miraculous things to save wonderful, you know, people during one of the worst moments in history. You know, I mean, I don't think that there's an aspect there. I mean, like, you know, obviously Matt mentioned the Truffaut thing. It is very, very difficult to make an anti-war movie because of that, that same aspect. But in terms of those two movies, I wouldn't agree with that at all.
Yeah, no, yeah. I personally think there's two types of movies. There's the movies who are entertaining while telling a very serious, whether it's a war movie or about drugs or about something that's just like not highly recommended. Life. Yeah, but then there's the movies that try to put you in the shit. Like they really like just try to like, you know, like Memento, for example. It's a frustrating movie,
yeah,
but it's because the lead character is frustrated. So you're connecting on a different level. Like Son of Saul, it's a, and Mother, basically the same movie, just different like settings. It's a suffocating movie because there's only one angle the entire movie.
Yeah,
but it's because the character is suffocated and the director wants you to feel that way. So it's like a terrible experience for the right reason.
Yeah.
So it's Whiplash. Whiplash. I mean, Whiplash is sort of entertaining.
He's the only perspective you get is him. You don't, I mean, you're there for all his struggles, all of his failures.
Yeah, but it's like it's still an entertaining movie.
It's not frustrating on a Memento level at all. No.
Well, there is a third brand of movie though, and it's Greta Gerwig movies, which are designed to be neither enjoyable nor entertaining nor actually have any meaningful messages. So that's an entirely different genre of filmmaking.
I didn't dislike that.
or Lars von Trier, you know, like completely irredeemable, nothing.
He's definitely of the Son of Saul category.
Yeah,
for sure.
But Son of Saul actually, I mean, like, geez, I didn't want to murder myself after Son of Saul. I'm
telling you, I remember like one of my favorite Facebook posts ever is like after I watched like Nymphomaniac Part One and Part Two and one sitting in one night. I posted on Facebook like I've just watched like Lars von Trier of an Infomaniac, and boy is the vagina I don't have tired. It's like that movie, like I really turned into a woman that's been fucked in all her holes. Like and if a movie makes man feel like that, then it did something.
Right. So
yeah. sure.
It's again, it's not entertainment. It's just doing something different. Like, different movies do different things, but it's just, it achieved its goal, if that was the goal.